Patty DeGangeve and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Hi, Shirley. It's me, Patty. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Patty? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm not necessarily a Twitter expert or even a social media expert, but one of the things I do know is that mass media, whether it's Twitter or any of those, they have really tight time and space restriction. It kind of reminds me of dental hygiene. You know, we have a specific amount of time, yet the messages they have to deliver and we have to deliver they're complex. And so it's a real challenge. And what I get worried about, whether it's at mass media or, again, in our own situation, is oversimplification. Now, this isn't my quote, but I love it. And it's if all you have is a hammer, every thing looks like a nail.
I love that, and it's so appropriate for what we're doing. When you're talking to a surgeon, they just want to take your kidneys out or whatever it is. They just want to cut stuff off. And when you're talking to a different kind of a physician, then they want to treat things in a different way. And I think that's true with dentistry. When we're talking about teeth with holes in them, for instance, the dentist wants to right away cut that infection out. And I think dental hygienists are a little bit softer in their approach to that. And we have new options available to us, but we kind of are back in our little area where we only have these one or two different things, and we just spit them out. We need to stop and think really a little bit more.
We sure do, and the thing is that, all right, this is going to sound a little crazy at first and possibly even offensive to some when I first say it, but it's our two F words, floss and fluoride.
Right.
How many times you say you're a dental hygienist, I mean, this is any place and anybody, you say you're a dental hygienist and the immediate reaction of the other person is, oh, I didn't floss. And it's like, really? But then, and then the other F word is fluoride. I mean, it's like it's been out there and it's so permeated every product in the advertising, the point that the public thinks everything can be solved with floss and fluoride. And the concern is that I wonder sometimes if we do think that too. I mean,
we sure act like we do, don't we?
It seems like it. And hammers are great tools if they're used for the right purpose. You know, I mean, you drive a nail in with a hammer, but I sure don't want to scratch my back or clean some glass with a hammer.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to hygiene, too. It's like we got to kind of rethink and discover, you know, there's other things besides these F words. And
right.
I know this is your statement, Shirley. You're so right. So often the disease of dental caries is treated like it's a shortage of fluoride.
Constantly. I see it all the time. And it's a detriment to us, because it sounds like we have nothing else to talk about to our patients besides floss and fluoride, and patients stop hearing floss and fluoride because they know that's what we're going to say. They have their other priorities in their head, and they just stop listening. And we need to come to them with better options, and we have better options now. But this autopilot thing where we talk about fluoride all the time is so permeated into our profession that we're afraid to not do it. It reminds me of the time when I started to ask my patients if they would like to have their teeth polished, and I broke out into a cold sweat the first time, for sure. There was sweat rolling down my back when my patient said, no, I think we'll skip the polish today. And the second time it was just as bad, and the third time it was a little bit less, but it was really, really uncomfortable. And I think that when we're talking about floss and fluoride in particular, then we have this comfort level with it. And if we didn't do it, I think people would, I think they'd be uncomfortable. I think they'd begin to sweat. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. And the because it's about change, and change is challenging. Yet, as hygienists, our whole educational background really prepares us for the world we're in now if we can tweak our thinking a little bit. I mean, I like risk assessments. That's something. Do we know about risk assessment? Sure we do. And, you know, most of those people listening probably know that I write about coding and insurance and all that. And we have, in 2014, three carriers risk assessment codes. Yet when I show people in courses that if we're really using risk assessment, there's a possibility that this little four-year-old might not need fluoride. Oh, my God, it strikes at the heart of dental hygienists going, oh, no, we've got to get fluoride. Yep. Everybody until a certain age, and then they don't need it anymore. What? That doesn't make sense. And speaking of striking at the heart of, the American Heart Association, along with all the other hats I wear, I'm a CPR instructor, and so I'm really aware of a lot of things the American Heart Association does, but so were many of the dental public, and they really poured cold water on the idea that periodontal disease contributes to heart disease. They did a position paper on it back in 2012. And the thing is that, wait a second, did you hear me say that they said that periodontal disease maybe it may not contribute to heart disease in the way we've been saying. And the American Dental Association supported that. Well, the reaction of a lot of people I know was like, how absurd. We have courses all over the place that show us this. And it's, you know, and what the American Heart Association was saying is really about the other F word. In a way, because it has been so oversimplified by media and by the profession themselves.
Floss or die.
What?
Floss or die.
Floss or die, yeah. Yeah, if you floss, you're going to prevent periodontal disease. No, if you floss, you're going to prevent heart disease. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And this really kind of goes to the heart of evidence-based decision-making and what people, you know, they kind of spin it. And, I, you know, unfortunately, rather than using the tool of evidence the way we can or should or the value of it, we kind of end up using it as a cudgel to beat people over the head of what our opinion is. And sometimes, again, in that oversimplification, it takes the difference between causality and association and making those the same. Causality is irrefutable proof that one entity is a consequence of the other. Whereas association means they share characteristics, possibly risk factors, that sort of thing. They are not the same words. And this goes into the word concise. Concise language. What is the real meaning of the word that we're using? And is there new information almost every day in research? There's lots of money being poured into the research on the connections or the associations of perio and heart disease. But it's, you know, even with the whole thing on periodontal disease, surely, you know, I know we hit this before on this whole thing on probing and what we're using and what diagnosis we're making. But, you know what, I don't think we make diagnosis very often. We see what we consider after periodontal disease, which is bleeding, which doesn't have scientific basis in the way a lot of people think it does. And we make a huge leap. We got to talk about flossing, because if the patient flosses, they will maintain periodontal health. Really?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I know what you're talking about. I agree. But it's so pervasive in the minds of our colleagues that it's almost impossible to have them to help them to see a new way of looking at this and to get them off of their automatic pilot. And that exactly is what's holding dental hygiene back as far as a profession, I think. It really goes that far. If all we do is talk to patients about brushing and flossing and we just hinge all of our treatment on fluoride use, then we are looking like we only have two answers, floss and fluoride, and why do we need to have professional dental hygienists anywhere? If all you have to do is use floss and pound the fluoride on, then what are we even doing? What's the purpose of a dental hygienist? So I think
where it brings around to the whole idea of what a modern millennial hygienist is.
Exactly.
A modern millennial hygienist is not an age. It's an attitude. It's a belief. It's a way of looking at things. And one of the things we can learn from the millennials is they are that generation of it consuming those little tiny bits of information. And Twitter, 140 characters. With that 140 characters, not to say every tweet is valuable by any means, but what the millennials have discovered is really a more concise way to communicate.
Yep.
It doesn't mean oversimplifying, oversimplification. Concise language kind of forces us to exercise our vocabulary. Now, those of us that are writers like you and I mean, you know, that's what it's about. Now, writing a 500-word article is actually more difficult than writing a 5,000-word article.
Right.
Why? It isn't. I mean, it's more concise language. The thing is about with concise thinking, it helps us to be concise thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Concise thinkers are not oversimplifiers. It's using the best language to communicate what we now know as the best science and reality for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm excited, because we're going to continue to explore this whole language thing. And it's not about being PC or, you know, politically
correct. No, it's being accurate. I always like to say what you mean and mean what you say. And that's what we're going to be talking about next time.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Patty. See you then.
Those six new words. Bye.